Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Yes, thank you very much. I am Mike Quackenbush, your host and researcher of the things that trend. And because I am just getting around to recording this now, I have more than the usual amount of trending stuff for you. But first, I want to quickly thank show sponsor Cobra Electronics for joining us in the new year. And I want to thank loyal trendy MV Cronus for leaving me that 5-star review in iTunes. Have you left yours? MV Cronus put a smile on my cranky face by writing, "If the Daily Show were perfect, it would be the trending show." Thank you for that uplifting sentiment, MV Cronus. I hope you got everything you wanted this holiday season, that all your New Year's resolutions come true, that you win the Powerball lottery, and that Max Moon wins the Intercontinental title from Shawn Michaels. That last part was really for me. Let's talk about what was trending last week, shall we? Last week, Michael Bay was trending after a botched presentation at the Consumer Electronics Show. That's the place to be if you are into emerging technologies and awesome new gadgets. You know, like the kind our show sponsors Cobra Electronics make. Bay started his presentation off just fine, but a teleprompter malfunction derailed his oration, and after stumbling for a moment, he transformed into a yellow Volkswagen bug and sputtered off stage. Later, he tweeted, "I guess live shows just aren't my thing." If you've seen any of his recent films, you know storytelling really isn't his thing either, nor is creating an emotional stake in the arc of the fictional characters he directs. In his defense, however, he is very good at looking befuddled and plaid. Polar vortex was also a hot thing on Monday, which is a term I had never heard before, and then suddenly was hearing everywhere. And when I say everywhere, what I mean by that is overheard while waiting in line at Starbucks and then mentioned again by the AM radio station that gives traffic and weather reports. That's how you trend in my world. To the world at large, though, the trending topic of Tuesday was the murder of the former Miss Venezuela, Monica Spear. First off, let me say this. I think this is a horrible thing, that she and her ex-husband were murdered by robbers, and their daughter was injured and traumatized by this, having seen her parents murdered before her eyes. There is no word that sums this up better than horrible, and I know several words. But Washington Post, what were you thinking when you ran this story on your site? So you don't have to look, let me tell you what you'll find on their site with this story. You find a one-paragraph summary and then a photo slideshow which starts with glamorous bikini and evening gown pageant shots of the former Miss Venezuela, and then all of a sudden becomes photos of people mourning. What is the story you were trying to tell me, Washington Post? That you're short on text and long on high-res JPEGs? On Wednesday, Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey was trending when Dunkin' Donuts declared a statewide shortage of eclairs. There was also some scuttlebutt regarding a bridge and the documents about lane closures. Yes, I believe this scandal has to do with lanes on a bridge being closed. Documents about this might be subpoenaed. That's how mad people are about these lane closures. Opponents of Christie's have said this represents an abuse of power, which left me to ask my 21-inch monitor, are we still talking about lanes on a bridge being closed? Because I am really only aware of what is trending at my Starbucks and from what can be gleaned in 2-minute chunks from AM radio, I did not know that this lane closure thing resulted in a 4-day-long traffic jam near Fort Lee, New Jersey. Like everything about going through New Jersey, to get to Manhattan isn't already awful enough. Now some bureaucrats ordered lane closures at the bottleneck of 3 major highways that caused people to miss work or prevented them from getting essential services they needed. The documents in question had led some to infer that the lane closures were some kind of political payback centered around the Port Authority. If that's true, this is the most disgusting thing tied to a man who is, from every angle I've ever seen him pictured, already kind of disgusting. How many homeless people could have been fed by his carcass? How many homeless could be kept warm at the next polar vortex by pulling a Han Solo tauntaun on this guy? That would be more of a service to the people of New Jersey than what appears on his track record currently. Incidentally, since it is unlikely I can use this anywhere else, do you know the temperature inside a tauntaun? Lukewarm. This edition of The Trending Show is made possible because Cobra Electronics is awesome. They support new media, like podcasting, and we should all take a moment and think on their awesomeness. Later, I'll tell you about something new and awesome from the great brains over at Cobra. Hint, it is neither a weather dominator nor the mass device. Giant squid hoax alert. Giant squid hoax alert. Yes, every time there is a giant squid hoax, I want to be out in front of that story. I feel like it's part of the unspoken contract between us. It has always been the duty of the host or hostess of the Trending Show to bring you honest reporting about giant squids, dating all the way back to Trending Show episode number 4. In those first 3 episodes, our attitude about giant squids was quite lackadaisical. And I'm comfortable telling you that it did play a role in Natalie's abrupt departure from this show. Well, that and the contract with a major news network for a truckload of money. But also the squid thing, okay? The photo of an alleged 160-foot-long giant squid that circulated last week was indeed a fake, and our friends from the Smithsonian Institute took this opportunity to remind us all that there has never been a squid on record larger than 43 feet. And when I considered how big that really is, it made me feel gross and weird. How do you fight a giant squid? The only answer I can think of? Inside a giant Jaeger robot, like depicted in the movie Pacific Rim. That was the movie IMAX was invented for. You know, if I get hot on the Powerball lotto, I am so moving into a secret castle mansion house where you slide down bat poles concealed behind a bookcase into a private IMAX theater that only screens Pacific Rim and The Dark Knight Rises on a loop. And the concession stand there serves overpriced lattes and McDonald's holiday pies. Or maybe, if I put enough money in the collection plate every Sunday, that's where my soul will go when I die. Last Thursday was also the first day that Mae Young was trending, and I'm betting most of you know that Mae Young was a pioneer of women's professional wrestling, dating all the way back to the first women's boom era and the heyday of Billy Wolf, who is one of the most infamous figures in wrestling's wacky history. Mae was trending after being admitted to hospice. The 90-year-old was not expected to live much longer. And so Mae Young would trend sporadically for the next 5 days, right up until this Tuesday, when she did pass away. It had long been known that the great Mae Young wanted to wrestle on her 100th birthday, but alas, that will never be. If her career really began in 1939, as she liked to claim, then she holds the incredible distinction of having wrestled in 9 different decades. Mae Young was a spitfire, if ever there was a personification of the term. Many contemporary wrestling fans might only know Mae as part of a comic relief duo with the late great Fabulous Moolah. They might even suspect that they're the same age. But I once had the chance to chat up those 2 charming Southern belles, and Moolah was a tad bit offended that I failed to realize that Mae preceded her by a whole generation of wrestlers. I met Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah backstage at a wrestling event about 15 years ago, when they still made frequent television appearances for the WWE. I have always been curious about Mildred Burke, the woman that really launched women's wrestling back in the 1930s, and I had no idea that the Fabulous Moolah was from the other side of the political fence. But Mae Young had wrestled Mildred Burke, and when they brought me into their dressing room just to chit-chat, these 2 ladies regaled me with stories from the very earliest days of women's professional wrestling with such remarkable detail and clarity, it was like having a picture painted in my memory by the 2 of them. Mae Young passed a tangible piece of wrestling history to me that day, and for that, I will be forever in her debt. Mae Young was kind enough to show me Mildred Burke's inescapable pinning combination, the one that she often used to defeat male challengers, and it's called the Alligator Clutch. When I asked Mae Young about it, she used a double-leg takedown on me right in the middle of her dressing room and slapped it on. An amused Fabulous Moolah called out to me, "Try to get out, try to get out." And I could not. Neither Mae nor Moolah could recall the last time they'd even thought about the Alligator Clutch, and perhaps, as we all realize that something very special might accidentally tumble into the abyss of history for simple neglect, they told me to take the Alligator Clutch and make it my own. In my days as an active professional wrestler, it was only for the most special of occasions that I would pull the Alligator Clutch from my utility belt, because I felt that I had been charged as the keeper of a special slice of wrestling history. Mildred Burke, the Fabulous Moolah, and now sadly Mae Young are off to the great squared circle in the sky, where incidentally I hope someone is serving lattes and holiday pies. But their stories and spirits live on even through people like me, who spent all of just a few minutes with them. And as for the piece of history they entrusted to my care, well, everyone from Jake Daniels to Daniel Bryan has learned that no one escapes the Alligator Clutch. Okay, Also trending late this week was Devil Baby, and this term so intrigued me that I decided to watch the related video. A prank video in support of the upcoming film Devils Do preyed upon good-intentioned New Yorkers that approached what appeared to be an unattended baby stroller. In the stroller was an animatronic zombie baby thing that would pop out and frighten those that dared to get too close. The Devil Baby was also able to projectile vomit, and thanks to the stroller being remote-controlled, could pursue people across the street. The Devil Baby gives the middle finger to a police cruiser checking up on the little stinker in my very favorite moment of the viral video, which has now been watched over 25 million times on YouTube. The actual trailer for the Devil's Due movie, hitting screens later this year, has been watched less than 1% of that figure. Back when I hosted a podcast called Daddy on Board, a frequent topic was that of the Gosselin family, in part because they are from the same area where I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania. Since the cancellation of Daddy on Board, I have had very little call to reference them, but Kate Gosselin came creeping into my trending show rundown just yesterday, following her appearance on the Today Show with twin daughters Kara and Maddie. While an interview from the camera-hogging mother of eight is hardly cause for her to trend, the extremely uncomfortable interview segment left a portion of the viewing audience aghast, and the twins' father, John, fuming. Since he does not own a sufficiently large megaphone, John tweeted his angry thoughts to the world and earned the attention of trash gossip site HollywoodLife.com. Now, because HollywoodLife.com is written by 13-year-old girls, they did not cover the real entertainment news of Thursday, that being the death of 89-year-old Russell Johnson, known the world over as the Professor on Gilligan's Island. Of the castaways, he was the last man standing, quite literally. He is survived by Dawn Marianne Wells and Tina Ginger Louise and a coconut-powered motorbike. Often, it is further down the list of trends that some really curious things appear. For example, toward the end of this week, a slight trend emerged about Lauren Tannehill, the 26-year-old wife of Miami porpoise Ryan Tannehill. Sometimes, pro athletes' wives trend for no reason other than that they posted a provocative selfie on Instagram, or because they forgot to wear undies when sitting courtside facing all the photogs. But not this chick, oh no. Lauren Tannehill was trending because she left her AR-15 assault rifle in the back of a rental car and only realized later she had forgotten it. Now, to me, the term AR-15 summons nothing from my mental clip art file, but CBSSports.com was kind enough to post a photo of the Tannehill gun, and this is the sort of thing that Rob Liefeld used to draw in 90s comics, and then had to draw extra muscle groups into Cable's arms to justify him being able to hold up the gun. For people that follow sports instead of comics, first of all, I don't know why you listen to this show. You should be listening to the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. Cable had his 15 minutes when anything Marvel printed that appeared to be tied to the X-Men flew off shelves and into speculators' long boxes to later line the bottom of bird cages. Seriously, I could not give away my bagged mint-condition copies of X-Force No. 1, no matter what trading card it was packaged with. Are you snickering at me? If the photo that CBS Sports ran of Mrs. Tannehill and the AR-15 assault rifle are good representations of what each of them look like, I think the gun has a solid 10 pounds on her. So, if she took the rental car out to slay a bison for dinner that night, at least the scales were momentarily moving into balance. Or, for my fellow comic nerds out there, she makes Polaris look chubby. Before I tell you about the final trend of the week, I want to tell you about the new Cobra HH450 Dual Marine Radio that is set for release next month. The Dual Radio is a waterproof, all-terrain radio for year-round use. It's a rugged and compact floating radio unit and includes Cobra's exclusive Rewind Say Again feature. The radio features selectable options between low, medium, and high power for short or long-range communication, plus access to weather alerts. The unit also has a noise-canceling microphone for crystal-clear conversations. The Cobra HH450 Dual Marine Radio will be available for purchase in February. So thank you, Cobra Electronics. Now let's lightning round some of the other things that trended over the last few days and put this episode of the trending show to bed, shall we? Awards that got people trending. Amy Adams named Best Dressed. But Best Dressed where, fashion critics? At my place, I'm the best dressed. Give me context. Meryl Streep's Oscar nomination got her buzzing. Or was it Tina Fey's one-liner about her that did the trick? Lupita Nyong'o? You know, I have a policy about covering people with difficult-to-pronounce surnames, right, Lupita? I'm sorry. Trending due to death. Aaliyah. who would have turned 35 this past week. Dave Madden, who portrayed Reuben Kincaid on The Partridge Family, died at his home in Florida. He was 82. Cassandra Lynn Hensley, the 34-year-old playmate, was found dead in a bathtub next to a sinister-looking loofah that was quick to lawyer up. And because body parts believed to be his floated into shore, Avanteo, come on! What is that last name? The autistic teen that went missing back in October? He may have been found, I'm sorry to report. His last name may be Aquendo? Hopefully this is not the case, though, as his story was sufficiently tragic without this grisly new twist. So let me say that I sincerely hope he was trending for the wrong reason. Ah, but I can't go out on that one. That one was a bad story, where it's something frivolous. Ah, Octomom to the rescue. Or maybe Octomom to jail. Could she be the earnest for a new generation? Octomom goes to camp. Octomom evades incarceration. Ah, but probably not for long. Octomom, whose name I'm not even going near, faces welfare fraud charges as she's accused of not reporting money earned as a topless dancer and adult film actress. Quote, while applying for public aid, the mother of 14 children allegedly failed to disclose that she was also getting checks for personal appearances and residuals from videos, end quote, said a news release from Los Angeles District Attorney Jackie Lacey on Monday. Regarding her relentlessly shameless attempts to make money, Octomom revealed in April that she was so determined to build a future for her 14 children that she would accept adult entertainment offers, although she would not touch another human's flesh. The quote reads, I would not kiss somebody. I wouldn't touch somebody, end quote, she told CNN. Prior to reading that statement, I had no interest in seeing an adult film featuring Octomom. But having read that weird statement now, I have no interest in seeing an adult film featuring Octomom. But I would read a plot synopsis. What could happen in that film? She fills out her welfare application in the buff? What could it be? Well, so ends another trending show, my friends. Don't forget to leave me your 5-star review in iTunes, and in an effort to boost our numbers, next week I am rolling out a challenge for all loyal trendies like you. Until then, catch me over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe with Clayton Morris, or on the hunt for holiday pies. Adios, amigos.